Tell me a story, Montana Wild Hack said to Billy Pilgrim in the Tralfamadorian Zoo one time. They were in bed side by side. They had privacy. The canopy covered the dome. Montana was 6 months pregnant now, big and rosy, lazily demanding small favors from Billy from time to time. She couldn't send Billy out for ice cream or strawberries since the atmosphere outside the dome was cyanide and the nearest strawberries and ice cream were millions of light years away. She could send him to the refrigerator, which was decorated with the blank couple on the bicycle built for two, or, as now, she could wheedle, "Tell me a story, Billy boy." Dresden was destroyed on the night of February 13, 1945. Billy Pilgrim began. We came out of our shelter the next day. He told Montana about the four guards, who in their astonishment and grief resembled a barbershop quartet. He told her about the stockyards with all the fence posts gone, with roofs and windows gone. Told her about seeing little logs lying around. These were people who had been caught in the firestorm. So it goes. Billy told her what had happened to the buildings that used to form cliffs around the stockyards. They had collapsed. Their wood had been consumed, and their stones had crashed down, had tumbled against one another until they locked at last in low and graceful curves. "It was like the moon," said Billy Pilgrim. The guards told the Americans to form in ranks of four, which they did. Then they had them march back to the hog barn, which had been their home. Its walls still stood, but its windows and roof were gone, and there was nothing inside but ashes and dollops of melted glass. It was realized then that there was no food or water, and that the survivors, if they were going to continue to survive, were going to have to climb over curve after curve on the face of the moon, which they did. The curves were smooth only when seen from a distance. The people climbing them learned that they were treacherous, jagged things, hot to the touch, often unstable, eager, should certain important rocks be disturbed, to tumble some more, to form lower, more solid curves. Nobody talked much as the expedition crossed the moon. There was nothing appropriate to say. One thing was clear. Absolutely everybody in the city was supposed to be dead, regardless of what they were, and anybody that moved in it represented a flaw in the design. There were to be no moon men at all. American fighter planes came in under the smoke to see if anything was moving. They saw Billy and the rest moving down there. Planes sprayed them with machine gun bullets, but the bullets missed. Then they saw some other people moving down by the riverside, and they shot at them. They hit some of them. So it goes. The idea was to hasten the end of the war. Billy's story ended very curiously in a suburb untouched by fire and explosions. The guards and the Americans came at nightfall to an inn which was open for business. There was candlelight. There were fires in three fireplaces downstairs. There were empty tables and chairs waiting for anyone who might come, and empty beds with covers turned down upstairs. There was a blind innkeeper and his sighted wife, who was the cook, and their two young daughters, who worked as waitresses and maids. This family knew that Dresden was gone. Those with eyes had seen it burn and burn, understood that they were on the edge of a desert now. Still, they had opened for business, had polished the glasses and wound the clocks and stirred the fires and waited to see who would come. There was no great flow of refugees from Dresden. The clocks ticked on, the fires crackled, the translucent candles dripped. And then there was a knock on the door, and in came four guards and 100 American prisoners of war. The innkeeper asked the guards if they had come from the city. Yes. Are there more people coming? And the guards said that, on the difficult route they had chosen, they had not seen another living soul. The blind innkeeper said that the Americans could sleep in his stable that night, and he gave them soup and ersatz coffee and a little beer. Then he came to the stable to listen to them bedding down in the straw. "Good night, Americans," he said in German. "Sleep well."